So think of it this way. If I walk up to you directly and just ask you, does God love you? The file cabinet in your brain called Things I Believe is going to boot up and say, yes, I believe that God loves me. But what would happen if I linger there for a second? Let it get quiet. Look you in the eye and ask again, does God love you? Is there anything in you that wavers a little bit and says, maybe deep down I'm not exactly sure of that? The reality is, even if we believe that the concept that God loves us, we don't always let that really sink in a meaningful way. Here's the kicker. We really, really need to. Every single person in this room wants to be loved for who you are. I found an old journal of mine the other day. Does anyone else ever like keep those and you fill it like half up and then you decide to get a new one because you're liking a new, or you see it and it's pretty so you get another one? Or, I mean, very manly if you're a guy. Maybe that's it. Well, I have like 15 half-filled journals. And finally I was like, I'm not buying another journal. I'm just going to go back and use this one. And I opened it up, and it was actually from that season of life when I was having an identity crisis. I publicly referenced that with all you all a couple weeks ago. That happened. And I saw where I had written in there, I just want to be known, and I just want to be loved. Isn't that what it comes down to? Deep down. Dr. Terry Wardle is a dear friend of the well. He's a professor down here at the seminary, and just a brilliant man. And from his background in psychology and in ministry, he says that every person is born with certain core needs. These are a couple that he lists. Constant reinforcement of personal worth, repeated messages that you are valued, unique, and special, unconditional love and acceptance. We need to be loved and accepted for who we are. We're wired for it. And maybe we stifle that need, or we ignore it, or we cover it up with temporary band-aids, but it is there, and it is that part of you that I'm talking to tonight. So on our spiritual journey, sometimes it's kind of easy to dismiss things that we think we have a handle on. So you might be thinking, yeah, okay, I get it, God loves me. Move on, let's talk about interesting things that I don't already know. But I'm telling you, if you think you have a handle on God's love for you, you do not. It is so much bigger and so much more powerful, and it cuts so much deeper than you can imagine. If you think you have enough of it right now to get by, you don't. So let me pray for us for tonight. God, I pray that you would help us just stand in awe of who you are, and specifically in the way that you love. And I pray that we would feel appropriately small next to you, kind of like a person standing beside the ocean. And I pray that you would help us be overwhelmed with who you are in a really good way. I pray that you can help us open our hearts to you tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, love is not just a description of something that God does. It is who he is. God is love. 1 John says, God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them. His very essence, his very nature is love. Now, this should be immensely comforting to us, because what it means is that his love for us is not dependent on whether or not we're deserving. He cannot act in any other way because it is who he is. This is great news, because what it means is it doesn't matter what kind of day you're having. It doesn't matter if we're doing really good or if we're messing up a ton. His love for you is constant and unchanging because he is constant and unchanging. That means that his love is everlasting, secure, dependable, and safe. Now, we all probably have pretty different definitions of love, and we've all had different experiences with human love, some good and some bad. And there are some very specific things about God's love that I would like us all to rediscover together tonight. The first is that God's love is powerful. This is not some pithy, sentimental feeling I'm talking about here. There's this verse in Song of Songs, and we sing a song about it, so you might recognize it as something that we sing. But it says this: "Place me like a seal over your heart, like a seal on your arm. For love is as strong as death, its jealousy unyielding as the grave. It burns like a blazing fire, like a mighty flame. Many waters cannot quench love, rivers cannot sweep it away." Our God, who is love, is the most powerful force in existence. When God's love breaks through in our world, it is a force to be reckoned with. Think of it this way: when God decided out of his love to create the world, he spoke and produced the sun. That's the kind of power that we're talking about. Even laws of nature yield to God's love. When God wanted to rescue his people from Egypt, you've probably heard this story, his love drew a line in the middle of a river and it stopped on both sides and piled up, and there was dry ground in the middle. And another time Jesus was teaching and people were following him, and he realized that there's a lot of people, we're in the middle of nowhere and they're hungry. And out of his love, he made something exist that didn't exist before. They had fish in the bread and it was gone, and then they reached in and there was more of it. And then it was gone again, and then it just kind of, there was no bread, then there was bread. I mean, that's powerful. When darkness fell and death threatened to claim God's people, the love of God raised Jesus from the dead. Spiritually, we were dead and we were stuck in death. The gun was pointed at your head. And the power of God's love in Jesus stood toe-to-toe with death and said, "She belongs to me. He is mine. I will give her my life. He will live through me now." Even the power of the grave cannot withstand the power of God's love. This is the kind of love that we're talking about. God's love for us is unconditional, without condition. Now, we as humans, we love, and sometimes we love really well, and sometimes with the help of God, we can love like he does for a moment. But more often than not, our experience of love is a little bit more like a roller coaster, because sometimes we get it right and sometimes not so much. But God's love is different than anything that we have ever seen. His love is unwavering, unconditional, unaffected by circumstances. On your very best day and on your very worst day, it is the same. When you mess up, he's not fazed, he's not surprised. He never, ever, ever, ever pulls his love and acceptance off the table. It is always there. So this is it. This is what I always say, and I'm saying it again. He loves you as you are right now, entirely. No strings attached. Now, this is kind of the hardest thing for us to grasp, and it leads me to identify what our greatest obstacle is. We do not experience God's powerful and liberating love because we do not allow him to meet us in a place of vulnerability. So we live our day-to-day lives, and we get very used to kind of performing and putting on masks. And the general philosophy is, you're okay, and if you're not okay, you better look okay. Like, we're okay, as far as anyone else is concerned. And so what happens is we're so used to putting on this mask that we also do that with God. We project a false self to him, and we ask him to meet us there. And this is where it gets tricky, because this idea of, like, get your life together and then you'll be loved and accepted is really prevalent in our culture. It's kind of like what we're raised to believe that it's like. And if you're not okay, pretend to be, and then also be fixing yourself up. There's a reason there's a whole section in Barnes & Noble for self-help. One of my very favorite authors, David Benner, wrote this little book called Surrender to Love. In it, he says this. I'm going to read it. It's kind of long, so it's also up here if you want to read along. Yes, there it is. The life and message of Jesus stand diametrically opposed to such efforts of self-improvement. He's not interested in your own self-help book here. Jesus did not come to encourage our self-transformation schemes. This is key. He understood that rather than longing to receive his love in an undefended state, what we really want is to manipulate God to accept us in our false and defended ways of being. If only he would do this, we could remain unaware of just how desperately we need real love. He goes on to say, the problem is that I cannot feel the love of God because I do not dare to accept it unconditionally. To know that I am loved, I must accept the frightening helplessness and vulnerability that is my true state. About a year ago, I had an experience with God that shook me to my core. It was terrifying, and it was so good. I was attending a seminar down at the seminary taught by Dr. Wardle, who I mentioned earlier, and I thought it was kind of going to be an easy week because they call it an equipping seminar, which basically means it's like a class. So you like have this binder and you take notes and you're learning concepts and things like that. So I was doing that, and I was doing just fine. I'm telling you, I did not see this train coming. So the next thing I know, I hear Dr. Wardle say this. God wants to meet you in your broken self, in your sinful self, in your needy self. But he is not interested in meeting you in your false self. No real transformation can happen there. I mean, everything stopped for me. Because in that moment, I realized that for the first 27 years of my life, I had constructed this really intricate and quite impressive false self. I was really good at reading what people expected and wanted from me and then like turning myself into that to get approval. The problem is, I never actually felt genuinely loved because I knew that wasn't my genuine self. So when you take all that away, super scary. So God revealed to me in that moment what he knew all the time and what I didn't realize, that that false self that I thought was really working for me was hollow and empty. And it's a terrifying thing to realize that when you strip away all your pretenses, you're not exactly sure who you are underneath all of that, and that you're definitely not sure of what if what's left is worthy of love and acceptance. This pivotal moment for me and God. I was finally in a state of complete vulnerability. And you know what he said to me the next day when we were having prayer time? I was really shaken and really, really wanted to hear from him. And I heard him whisper one thing to me. He said, "Happy birthday." I mean, it wasn't actually my birthday, right? He was basically saying, he was saying to me, "You get to start afresh. We're going to just start over." It was really hope-filled. And he was saying, "This is something to celebrate. This is really exciting. It's a new start for you." Now, that is powerful, and that has produced transformation in me. It made me more secure and, quite frankly, a more peaceful person because he's helping me live in my true self and meeting me in vulnerability. So we have to invite God into our true selves, broken, sinful, and complete, and allow him to meet us in that vulnerability. We must allow ourselves to be loved unconditionally. I mean, this makes sense, right? If the only place that we allow God to meet us is where we're pretending, then when he loves us, we think it's because of that. We need to have him meet us in a place where we're not putting forth any effort at all and it's just us. This leads me to the last thing that I want to say tonight about what God's love is like and what he is like. It is abundant. As I was talking with God these last couple weeks about what his love is like, I kept getting this picture of a waterfall, and like we're just standing under this waterfall, and it's pouring on us. And then I realized, the more I sat with it, this is not like a nice little waterfall. This is Niagara Falls. We are standing under Niagara Falls of God's love. Psalm 86 says, "You, Lord, are forgiving and good, abounding in love to all who call to you." And then it also says, "But you, Lord, are a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness." And 1 John 3 says, "How great the love that the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God." Lavished, poured out in abundance. So you know how I said earlier that most days we walk around kind of believing deep down that God doesn't love us? It's kind of like we have this delicious feast laid out before us on this table, and we're like standing in the corner eating cracker crumbs because we've decided we're not worthy. And God is like, "There's a seat for you at the table with your name on it, and I love you, and I'd like you to come over right now. I'm not really concerned with what state you think you're in. Just come sit and be with me." One of Jesus' disciples, one of the inner three, in fact, John, when he's writing his account of everything that happened, refers to himself as the disciple who Jesus loved. So, I like this idea. What if I, like, walk around life saying, "Hello, I'm Mallory, the one who God loves." It's kind of funny, right? But it's also kind of brilliant. You know, because in that second when I'm saying that, I am reminding myself that that is, you know, who I am, primarily. John gets it. That's why he does that. One of my favorite songs that we sing here at the Well is "How He Loves." Even though, because I can be kind of like a worship song snob, and if we like sing something too many times, I'm kind of like, "New things." I don't know. It's not the best thing about me, probably. But there's something about standing up here that makes you, like, want to confess. Like, don't do it. Just kidding. I love "How He Loves." I love the song. I've heard it a million times. It, like, rolls me over every time. And I love it because we get really into it as a people. And I'll stop every time, and I'll just look around, and I'll see it. Because in that moment, we get it. We get that we are created to be loved. That's all that we need to worry about doing primarily. And so I just love that moment. There have been brief moments in my life when I really, really get it. I think they don't always last that long, but I'll get it 100% for a minute that it's all about me receiving how much he loves me. And in those moments, it's so clear to me that there's nothing to be afraid of. There's no fear of failure because God, the God of the universe, already loves me entirely and will continue to do so forever. There's no fear in what others think because I know what he thinks. And there's this deep feeling of security and freedom to enjoy life and take risks and be my true self. This is what happens when we really let it in. Because his love liberates. Where there is insecurity, he gives full acceptance. Where there is guilt and shame, he will give you a blank slate and say, "Happy birthday, let's start again." Where there is fear, he gives security. And where you are guarded, his love enables you to love more freely. But we've got to experience it. It's not enough to know it up here. You've got to allow his love to meet you in your place of vulnerability where you're just yourself. We would like to create some time to really press into this idea this evening. So we're going to do a couple of things. I'm going to go ahead and invite the band back up, but listen to me because I've got things to say. That sounded really snobby, I'm sorry. I'm like, "No, wait, stay with me." I'm going to pray for us. I'm actually going to pray a scripture from Ephesians. And then I have this really, really great audio that I'm going to play. There's no visual for it, so it's just about listening. And it is like 5 or 6 minutes long. Please don't feel like you have to write everything down. This is like a just, we're just going to sit and listen and receive and soak in it and just listen for one or two things that God might be saying to you. It's by this guy named Graham Cook, and he is like right up there with Morgan Freeman with people that you want to narrate your life because he's got this great voice. So you're going to like that. And it's just listening because he's speaking from God's perspective. He's saying, this is what God has to say to you, and I believe it's what he has to say to us tonight as well. And when that is done playing, we're going to sing some more songs, and we're going to pray. And specifically, I really believe that God wants to increase your capacity tonight to receive his love in a really transformational, powerful way, and to take it from here to this experience with him. So we're going to have people to pray, and we're going to be praying specifically for that because I feel like that's what he wants to do in our lives tonight. So I really encourage you, if you are in a place where you think deep down I could receive a little bit more of that, and I would imagine that would probably be about everybody, could be wrong, please come up or go to the back. We're going to have people everywhere, and receive that from the Lord in prayer. My prayer is that we get to experience God's powerful, unconditional, and abundant love. And I really want to challenge you in that time. Just come up and get it, because he's got it for you. So let's pray. I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to pray scripture. God, I'm so thankful for who you are, and that your very being and your very nature is love, and that love is the safest thing on the planet. And I pray that you would be working in our hearts tonight. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through the Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to all the measure of all the fullness of God.